when you're young, the specter of going to the doctor can be frightening because of the unknown of what's going to happen there. But I think that at least when I was young and I got to the doctor, I saw him or her as an authoritarian figure. But these days, that might not necessarily be the case anymore.
Well, I think we're seeing some changes, and some are good. You know, I think in terms of doctors and healthcare providers no longer being the only expert and they tell you what to do, but instead moving to collaboration. So that's a really positive change we can talk about that's growing. But there's another piece here that's alarming, is that Americans in general, when you ask them, seem to be less trustful of medicine as an institution than before. Right? So we're less likely to sort of listen to health recommendations and guidance from doctors and from experts who do research in the area, which is kind of challenging because over the past, you know, half century, we've gotten way better at research. Research has helped us understand way more about how to be healthy and live a fulfilling life and reduce our risk for disease. And at the same time, we're less likely to listen.
What comes into my mind are websites like WebMD. I mean, these days, everybody has all of these web addresses at their fingertips. And so anyone can go online, read all about all of these different diseases and treatments, which means, of course, that we know just as much as a doctor, right?
Of course, yes. That's the training is just that. No. Well, but it's interesting because I think one thing that medicine has done a better job of, and healthcare in general, including behavioral health, which I do, is recognizing that our clients, our patients are experts in their own lives and their experiences and what matters to them. And so one thing is that we've gotten doctors and healthcare providers to get better at listening, right? Because you really can miss things if you're not listening to your patients when they're there. So that piece is important. But yes, the fact that, you know, diagnoses are so readily available, I think in some ways you're right. It's easy for us to believe we're our own experts. And, you know, that's used to be common. We used to have something called medical school syndrome. It was the idea that, you know, when you're learning about all different diseases and things like that, you kind of believe you have all of them, right? Because, you know, it turns out that all of us have some experiences that map on to things like that. You know, if I asked a question like, you know, have you ever felt a little tired, kind of low energy, or, you know, yeah, just, you know, a little bit sort of difficulty concentrating out of it. Well, you know, it's not too far to jump to say, oh, well, you have Ebola. Oh, you have these, you know, really extreme and in rare conditions. And so that's kind of common. So I think one thing that, you know, WebMD has done in some ways, it's democratized that effect. It's no longer just for those who are studying it. All of us can have the effect where, you know, you put in you're a little tired, and then the next thing you know, you think you have horrible things. You know, but the best way, you know, around that or sort of work with that is to have those collaborative discussions with providers. You know, most Americans, when you ask them, actually report that they do trust their doctor. One of the challenges, though, is we don't always listen to them. And we certainly don't listen when we kind of look broadly at health advice in the world. So, you know, something that's going on right now is the flu. Right. And we know that one of the best ways to prevent flu and to prevent deaths from the flu is to get the flu vaccine. And many older adults do. You know, the proportion of older adults who get the vaccine, more than half of them do. Many children do. But for many younger, healthy adults, we often just ignore that advice. And when you ask people why, they give you various different reasons. Typically, it's not the cost or inconvenience. Often is they just we feel like we don't need it. Like we feel that we know more about our health than doctors.
It seems kind of like specious reasoning to me, but...
Well, and it's challenging, but it comes naturally. After all, we're experts. You know, and when we look at our own experiences, it tells us that tale. You know, last year, there's been a year I forgot to get the flu vaccine. I didn't forget. I decided not to. I was too busy. I made excuses, and I didn't. And guess what? I didn't get the flu. So therefore, I don't need it because it doesn't help me. Right? And that works well until it doesn't. And I think that is one of the challenges is, you know, trying to help... You know, help folks recognize when medical advice and medical recommendations can be helpful. And, you know, sometimes it can mean having more difficult conversations with our doctors, right? You know, for the example I can give is in the classroom. Oftentimes I'll assign homework. I'll ask if students have questions. And inevitably I get, no, we're good. We got this. It's fine. Except then students don't do it. They do the wrong thing. They don't understand what happened. So I think sometimes we do that with doctors as well. They're explaining what we need to do, what medications we need to take, how we should treat it. And sometimes we hear things and you know, our thought is, well, I'm never going to do any of that. But we don't say it out loud to the doctor, right? And that might actually help. Disagreeing out loud or expressing our concerns when we're meeting with our healthcare providers could actually help us get better care. You know, I can give you an example of that. Look at prescriptions. Do you always fill the prescriptions you get and take them exactly as the doctor says?
Probably not.
And I wasn't asking you specifically to put you on the spot. Don't worry. We won't report you. Most Americans don't, right? If you look at, you know, there's been researchers that look at, you know, all the prescriptions that are filled. They go into databases, and then you can see how many folks actually go and fill them. An initial fill, many do, around half, but a little over half. But a lot of folks never even go and fill the prescription the same day they're giving it by the doctor. And if you look at through how many take is prescribed, do all the refills and things like that, the number gets smaller and smaller. So I don't think this is that we should just blindly listen to everything medicine says, but I think it could be, if we have concerns, being willing to express them and to find a relationship with a provider where we really feel like we can trust them, that we can share what's going on. So if a doctor says, here, I want you to take this antibiotic, I might feel comfortable saying, I don't think I'm going to do that. And then keep an open mind. Maybe they can convince me, or maybe through a conversation we can collaborate to a plan of care that the doctor's on board with as well.
Well, if the doctors are more willing to listen to patients today and patients are more knowledgeable than they've been in the past, are there some steps to where this can be spun in a positive way?
Well, absolutely. And I think that's how medicine is evolving, you know, and in healthcare in general. For quite some time, the model has been, you know, the doctor is the expert. They decide what to do. They are the expert. They write the plan. End of story. But we have something now called sort of evidence-based medicine and patient-based medicine movements that are trying to broaden beyond that. And one is really recognize the important role that research plays, making sure we're going to the research evidence when thinking about what treatments to offer. So in my own clinical work, there are certain things that I have expertise in. There are certain treatments that I prefer. But it's not just that. I have to consider what the evidence says, what the research says could help. And the other piece we're adding in now, really important, is patient preference and values. You know, what do our clients or folks in front of us, what do they want for treatment? What do they want it to look like? What are their goals? Which is something strange to kind of think about in medicine, but I think it's more important that we do. What is the goal of this patient? Is it, you know, sometimes clients have different expectations for what it means to live a healthy and fulfilling life. And sometimes clients have different religious beliefs, different cultural beliefs that might make some treatments acceptable or not. And I think as healthcare providers, we need to do a better job of listening and asking these questions to make sure that we're giving the best model of care.